Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I just sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Bottom of this hour, Charles Arbuckle will be with us. His Tuesday slot. No Griff today. Griff is a cancellation. Griff sent me a message yesterday, said, Bill, I am on vacation. I cannot do it. Just can't do it. Traveling. And Tuesday's a no-go. So we'll catch back up with Griff next week. 615-844-5600. And on Twitter, at Bill is King. Back to the conversation we were having. Coaches that got fired, college coaches, because the best example ever is Belichick. But college coaches, they got fired, and after that, they did a really good job. It did not predict the future. They actually have been a good coach. We were talking about Ole Miss. Cut in 03, won 10 games. And a year later, they're running him out of there. They did not like him. It was personal. And since he's been the head coach at Duke, let's face it, he's done a really good job there. He has taken Duke and probably extracted more water out of that rock than anybody could have possibly imagined. Well, since Spurrier, done a very good job. I'd say cut. If we're just talking about fits. Who's right for certain jobs? He probably fits that gig as ideally as any other coach fits any other gig. Obviously, you're not going to win big there, but he's winning a lot there compared to history, for example, other than Spurrier. But we were talking about Ole Miss and that drought of not winning double-digit games in a season. Jeff, too, pulled it up. You got to go back to actually Johnny Vaught's successor, Billy Kennard, early 70s. 71, they went 10-2 at Ole Miss. It took 32 years to get to another one. That was cut in 03. Another one meaning double-digit wins. I remember it was a long stretch, and we talked about it back then in 03. Coach O is another good example. Since Ole Miss, he's done pretty good. 6-2 with Southern Cal in an interim, and then 25-9. Jeff in Chicago brought this up. He said, given the nature of the Pac-12 currently, don't you think Coach O would be winning the league there? Well, that's a good one. First of all, you know he'd be recruiting ridiculous talent. Coach O, if there's one thing you attribute him to being, first and foremost, dude is a high level. Players relate to Coach O. They love him. If you want to pick out the coach in America where the players will literally run through 10 feet of concrete for that coach, it's Coach O. They love him. They absolutely love him. And Southern Cal is one of those talent jobs. And here's what I mean by that. When you think of Southern Cal, you never think of lack of players, right? That's one of those jobs where even when things aren't going well, there's talent there. Southern Cal. It's one of those talent-rich jobs. You can max out a roster with incredible talent there if you're doing it right. Yeah, I think he could easily be winning the league out there if they'd have stuck with him. Now, Helton, a couple of years ago, won the Rose Bowl. He's been to some Rose Bowls, beat Penn State, remember? He's had some good teams. Very few think he's a real good coach, though. Isn't that amazing? That's the opposite end of the spectrum. He's winning quite a few games, and nobody really believes. Even the Southern Cal fans, the ones that I talk to, don't typically believe. They'd like to see him replaced. Karen, checking in today, says, Bill, maybe Florida State should burn Jimbo in effigy. Maybe that would give them some closure. Jim in Jupiter does that every day in his yard. He sent me videos of this. Hawkeye Jason said, Bill, Mike Leach got run from Texas Tech, but that was considered perhaps a little toxic. Washington State was 9-40, Jason says, Hawkeye Jason, in the previous four seasons before Leach. Washington State won 11 games. What was that last year? 9-40 before Leach got there. Now, what happened to Leach is Leach got, and the administration there, boy, you're talking about toxic. That might be as ugly a relationship or lack thereof of any of them. That includes Jimbo in Florida State. That includes Rich Rod the final couple of years at West Virginia. Leach and Texas Tech. Oh, my gosh. Craig James, punky little son, and that whole thing. It was toxic. I'll tell you this, too. Not only does Leach holds a grudge, man. He ain't ever getting over that. There's financial considerations that he's asking for. He's asking for a lot, and he's not getting the answers he wants. He's never going to put that to rest. He will go to his grave cursing Texas Tech. He may have on his tombstone, bleep you, Texas Tech. That's all it is. That's all that's on the tombstone. To last forever where you can see that. That's where we are with that relationship. Tell you who else he hates is ESPN. Oh. They were the ones stirring the pot in this whole thing. He felt like he was very unfairly treated. And who's the guy that, oh, he lives out in L.A.? Oh, Bruce Feldman. Bruce Feldman. Remember, Bruce Feldman got fired by ESPN for doing the Mike Leach book. Remember that? The tentacles that stream off of this story don't end with Mike Leach. It gets out there. It's what turned Feldman and his relationship with his employer, ESPC, sour. And they knew he was doing the book. He was upfront about it. But that's what got him run there. That's when he disappeared. Remember that? Oh, yeah, that went down, and that wasn't pleasant the way that went down. Leach will never, ever say, you know what? We all just need to move on. The Texas Tech thing, I'm good with it now. That day's not coming. He's never going to be good with it. That day is not around the corner. Roundman says, is Leach hands down the best coach in the Pac-12? Chris Peterson's the best coach. I think Leach is right there. I think you have to consider it. Considering he's doing it in Pullman, Washington, he's not right there on that beautiful lake, Husky Stadium. He's doing some really good things, but I think anybody... When you look at the overall resume, Chris Peterson is an A-lister. Chris Peterson is a future Hall of Fame coach. He's that guy. I don't know. Maybe Leach is too someday. I don't know. I'm not a big Hall of Fame guy, so I didn't really look at it. Hawkeye Jason said, Bill, here's a list of coaches who consistently win or won at places that are considered pretty much not winnable places. Hayden Fry. Bill Snyder's a really good, yeah, there's one. That's a good example. Pat Fitzgerald, Gary Barnett, and Barry Alvarez. He says, Bill Leach has done it twice, Texas Tech and Washington State. We were talking about this. I was on down there in Florida with Dog Fan and that group, and we were talking about Mike Leach, because I do think Leach would like to get back this way if he could. For example, if the Kentucky job opened, let's say Stoops. I don't want to do this to Gary Joe Collins, but let's just say Stoops gets some offer that he can't refuse and he leaves. And that job opens up. If Kentucky, if Barnett approaches him, Mitch Barnhart, sorry. If he approaches him, Leach, I think Leach would take the Kentucky job in a second. I think he would come back this way. He was there with Hal Mumme, remember. I think he'd do it in a second. He would have taken the Tennessee job, too, when it was offered, until that got pulled. But, yeah, I think he'd love to get back. But back to Leach. Leach is a guy that needs to be at a place where overachieving is the MO. He doesn't need to be at a place where you need really fancy recruiting rankings and the pressure is intense to win big all the time. I don't think that would be a good formula. Leach is perfect for the Minshew kid, the quarterback out of Mississippi, out of Brandon, Jeff Tooth's play, Brandon, Mississippi, JUCO, East Carolina, ends up somehow Pullman, Washington, and then, wow, what a story. That's the kind of Mike Leach thing you need. Not signing Johnny five-star quarterback where the pressure's big and you've been told since you've been about six how good you are. You go to all the pajama camps. You get all the trophies. There's lots of cameras, lots of bright lights, and that's not what you want Leach for. You want him at a place where the expectations have always been kind of dismal. It's never been considered a destination place. And you do better than what's, at least what history tells you you ought to be doing. That's the Mike Leach destination. Bobby Dew says, Bill, what about Charlie Strong? Now, this is an interesting coaching resume here with Strong. Did a very good job, he says, at Louisville. Forgot how to coach when he got to Texas, got run, and is remembered again now that he is at USF. That is a very good one. Yeah, he coached well, then forgot how to coach, then remembered again. How do you do that? You get to Austin and you have all the conceited, we want to be Berkeley, Cal Berkeley tea sippers. So you see all of this entitlement, and you forget how to coach. Then you get back to real footing in Tampa, where Allen is, and you remember how to coach again at USF. That's pretty good. That is a very good one. Bobby Dew. That's a very good one. Bottom of the hour, we've got Buck coming up. Let's get the break. We're coming right back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're looking at bumper-to-bumper traffic here right on schedule on 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane. Still trying to work that wreck on Bell Road at La Coya Bay Drive in Donaldson. Bell Road over in Antioch. That crash being cleared at Hickory Hollow Parkway. It's heavy right on schedule 24 westbound. Heavy past Bell Road. All that traffic coming in from Rutherford County. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out today. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine. The most romantic steakhouse House in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Well, Buck at the bottom of the hour, no Griff today. Griff sent me a message on Monday, said, Bill, I'm vacationing. I cannot be bothered with a radio show, Bill. So Griff is a no show today. He's on vacation. He's otherwise preoccupied. Can't be with us. 615-844-5600. Twitter at Bill is King. Gator Brandon says, Bill, I saw that Vandy is demolitioning one of the Carmichael Towers for new student housing to be finished in 23. If you go down West End by Vanderbilt on that side of campus, those big towers are called Carmichael Towers. I heard on the news yesterday, I was driving around, it's tower number 3, I think, is what they said. I've been in one. I don't remember which one it was, but I actually had a girlfriend that lived in Carmichael Towers back in the early 80s, back in the college days. Those towers seemed old back then. What are they today? Wow. Anyways, yeah, I've been all through those Carmichael Towers a few times. A few times, times 10. On Twitter, at Bill is King. Here's one. How about this one? This will bring Bama fans back a little bit. John says, Bill, Gene Stallings got fired at A&M in 71. Later won a national championship at Bama. Yeah, 92. I forgot about that. How many of you have talked to Gene Stallings? Gene, when he was a coach, Gene's a really nice guy, but when it came to football, he was really cranky. If it was anything else, I don't know how many of you know Gene or have talked to him to where you would know this. Stallings, seriously, is a super genuine, friendly, nice guy. As long as he's not coaching and the topic's not football, he gets cranky then. Otherwise, he could not be more warm and charming. It gets a little cranky when he was the coach. And again, what a natty. That's forever on the resume. Dick McGee says, Bill, if you're talking about coaches winning at places where they have no business winning, you got to go Cut. Yep, we spent some time on Cut today. We do shows, and Cut's going to get acknowledged. Cut probably does better extracting water out of a rock than anybody else in college football. Leach does too. Yeah, those guys know how to do it. Another angle, I don't think Cut. For example, if Tennessee, let's just say Fulmer's the AD there, and I guess you never know, but if Tennessee ended up someday, for whatever reason, calling Cut saying, come on back, we need you, head coach this thing up, I don't know that he'd take it. Just because at Duke, he's safe forever. At Duke, he is king. Well, I don't mean over basketball, but I mean, he has done so well in football there. He's got unlimited equity in the bank right now. Cut does. Let's put this in money terms. Cash in your pocket. Cut, metaphorically speaking, has more money now than he could spend. Meaning security in the Duke job. Again, metaphor there. An example. Jerry says, why not Leach to Vanderbilt? Let's play that a little bit here. Let's think about that. Gus Malzahn, a couple of years ago, after the, what would that have been, 2010 Natty, was offered the Vanderbilt job. They offered him $3 million a year. See, that just goes to show you. Vanderbilt wants to spend money. They can spend money. Vanderbilt's got as much cash as you need to do whatever you need to do. Lots of money. Lots of it. Again, Martha Ingram, years back, donated $300 million to the school. Not football related, but just to the school. They can do, they have, as Greg Polk says, they have selective poverty. They go impoverished when they don't want to do anything, like with football and stuff. Now, they're saying the right things now, got the new AD, it's a new era, we're going to start really fancying this thing up. I'll believe it when I see it. Words mean nothing. Words are useless, like a piece of paper, useless. But they offered Gus $3 million a year, he turned it down. Gus thought that he was going to be getting some big offers back then, and they didn't come. One reason is that YouTube video of his wife with the preacher popping off about Cam Newton and all that, he thought that hurt him bad. I know that for sure. And so he ended up having to go to Jonesboro, Arkansas to coach, and then came back quickly and got the Auburn job. But I don't know. Think about Vanderbilt and how quirky they are, though. Would they go out there and hire the oddity, which is Leach? I love Leach. I'm not trying to be mean here. I love him. It just doesn't seem like a Vanderbilt thing. I think he'd probably do pretty good at Vandy, but I just don't think. Can you imagine Leach fighting with that administration over there? Because Leach isn't going to take any crap. Now, it would be really good if you're in the newspaper business or if you're local radio or whatever. Leach would be good because once the controversy hit, it would be content. It would be probably almost unlimited content because he would not get along with the folks over there. And you've got the administration, the academic side of things, always mad and not supportive. Oh, can you imagine Leach? No student body support at all. Every home game, the other team's got more people in the stadium than you do. You imagine Leach attacking that? Imagine here. Oh, my God. You're talking about press conferences from hell. You're talking about controversy. Leach would. Now, we would have a good time. Hey, folks, for the show, oh, we'd have a blast with it. I'm not saying it's all negative, but the clashes that would involve Leach versus the Vanderbilt bureaucracy. How about this? The Vanderbilt deep state. Leach versus the Vanderbilt deep state would be epic. It would be absolutely epic. I'd buy a ticket to see that. Oh, my God. Okay, hey, hang with me, everybody. Bottom of the hour, Buck's coming up. We're right back after this. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's Bumper to Bumper out here as we check it out live. 65 southbound here trying to get past Trinity Lane. 65 gets really busy this time of the morning trying to get the Metro Center there at Rosa Parks. 2400 block of Powell Avenue, South Nashville. That's a minor accident. Heavy, but moving on 40 East there up through Kingston Springs. All the traffic flow coming out of Dixon County this morning. And it's starting to pick up out here in the construction. 440, be careful. Hey, if you're moving soon before school starts back, call Smashville Moving Company at 584-4954. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season, 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a paint contractor, the Home Depot is here to save you money. You can get the same or better quality paint as you do at paint stores, but you also get one thing paint stores don't have: low prices every day on every gallon of high-quality Behr paint, stains, and primers. Plus, for pros, volume discounts. How much are you paying per gallon? At the Home Depot, you pay less for Behr paint every day, like Behr Pro paint starting at just $15.48 a gallon. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Amada Senior Care provides certified caregivers to assist seniors or adults with disabilities in the comfort of their own home. Amada assists with personal care needs such as bathing, dressing, medication reminders, and meal preparation, plus light housekeeping and transportation services. Amada Senior Care services hundreds of clients with dementia or Alzheimer's disease, and they have a certified dementia practitioner on staff 24/7. Amada Senior Care is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and is the only home care agency in Middle Tennessee to be A-plus certified by the Home Care Standards Bureau. They're experts in the field of long-term care insurance and work directly with all insurance carriers on behalf of the family so families don't have to do a thing. Amada has an exclusive relationship with the NFL Alumni Association to help past players learn how to access long-term care insurance policies that are provided as a benefit for vested players. Amada Senior Care Nashville proudly serves all of Middle Tennessee from their corporate headquarters in Murfreesboro. Give them a call today at 615-933-7494 or online at amadanashville.com.
Tri-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan Forecast. A chance of showers for this morning, then partly sunny with a high of 83. Clear overnight with a low of 62. Sunny on Wednesday with a high of 84. Clear overnight and Thursday sunny with a high of 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Thank you.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
How's our Buckle Wibbers in this slot on Tuesdays? Buck, let me tell you what we've been doing here, just to give you a little background. We've been talking about coaches who got fired, head coaches in college who got fired but went on to do quite well as a head coach after that in another spot. Obviously, the ultimate is Belichick in the pros, getting fired in Cleveland and probably being the greatest coach ever in the NFL. But on the college level, Cutcliffe has come up. Actually, Coach O, after the Ole Miss experience, has done pretty well. And there have been a few others. Somebody reminded me that Stallings actually got fired by A&M back in the early 70s. He won a national championship at Alabama. Can you think of any that we're skipping out on?
I think there's a lot of to be continued. One in particular, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
That would be a guy that I would throw there because you talk about a major come up. He was really able to come up after being fired by Texas Tech and get the Arizona job, and not only get the Arizona job, move a quarterback that he didn't really think fit his system, and now right. Got Kyler Murray. So if things don't work out for him, that would be one. No, you know what? What's interesting with college football, I think you guys named quite a few of them. I mean, for the most part, those are the guys that I could think of. I mean, I'm sure there's some others that we're not thinking about. But from a just straight out fire perspective, some have been pushed out and then gone on to better success other places.
Well,
but I can't.
Leach comes up, but Leach didn't get fired at Tech because of football. He got fired because of relationships. They were in a big fight about other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Most really high profile coaches in college football know how to leave before their time. You know, before that happens, we could say Petrino, but it he crashed and burned in Louisville just like he did the first, like he did at Arkansas, not for the same reasons,
right?
But you know, he had some success, and I think a lot of that is due to Lamar Jackson. We know he can X and O with the best of them, but his people skills have always been questioned, and you can see that even more now the second time around.
Cutcliffe got fired at Ole Miss and has done very good at Duke. But think about Cutcliffe. The year before he got fired, they won 10 games with Eli Manning. That was that 03 team, and that was the best season they'd had since the early 70s. But they didn't like Cut. Something relationship-wise behind the scenes at Ole Miss, they didn't like him. I was telling the audience, I talked to a parent back then, had a kid on the team, a famous last name. Not Manning, but a famous name. And they hated him. They hated Cut down there. And he won down there, Buck, but that last year didn't go well.
Well, here's the thing, Bill, and when has Ole Miss been relevant again? I mean, I know they had a nice run with Hugh Freeze from a talent perspective, but they've been able to beat Alabama, but when have they been really relevant since that time? I mean, I'm saying consistently relevant.
Right.
And I think sometimes you have to be careful as a program and an organization to think, I'm going to go out and get better. Because, and we've seen it in a lot of different places. We see it in corporate America a lot, but we really see it in sports because some people think right away we're going to replace this and we're going to get the next hot guy. And I think, I want to see Ryan Day do well, but I think also for him, and this is not one of those fire coaches guys, but he's got a blueprint to follow, meaning he at least had he sat in the suit for about 3 or 4 weeks last year, but he also has had a chance to spend some time talking to Riley. I think when you talk to Cutcliffe, his biggest thing is he's been through it. He's been he's a grinder. He's a guy that knows football. He doesn't have his quarterback. They don't need to go to see a quarterback guru because he does it. He's been the best. Those guys come to see him. When your college guys are Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and they still come back to see you. And I had that conversation with Thad Lewis. How was it? Because I was fortunate enough to call a game with Thad Lewis, and I think it was Russell Wilson going back and forth. My memory escapes me, but Thad Lewis and Russell Wilson battled 1 year. And, I commended him for it. I spent some time with him at UCLA, and he said, the special thing about Cut is just being around his wisdom, but also the other guys that he brings around. And I think that's the thing that some people don't value enough. And he's one of those guys that can tell great stories, But if you listen to David Cutcliffe, all his stories have a true meaning. Don't let him fool you. He is witty. He is sharp. And he knows the game of football inside and out.
I know you got to go by the ACC Media Days in Charlotte, there where you're located. What did you come away with?
Well, you know, I came away with Clemson as the top dog. Who's going to be able to knock them off? Virginia is one of those teams that I think everybody's kind of excited about because they've got the second-best quarterback in the league, Bryce Perkins. And Dino Babers is going to give Clemson a tough time. That Syracuse team is going to give Clemson a tough time again in year three. They knocked two quarterbacks out over the last couple of years, Kelly Bryant and then Trevor Lawrence last year. But Clemson's going to be tough. I don't know if they have the same thing on defense that they had. They've got some young guys up front that he likes. I think with DeVito starting at the quarterback position, he's a different guy than Dungy. But Bill, they've got some weapons on the outside that's going to give Clemson a little bit of problem. And if Clemson can't get to DeVito, that's where I see this game being another one where they battle, and that could be a scare for Clemson. But I think everybody across the league is saying, okay, is Florida State going to start making a run? And there's some excitement around Mack Brown being back at North Carolina. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, it's Clemson's title to lose again. You know what I mean? I think if they take care of business, nobody wants to say that, but you can clearly see who the top dog is in the ACC from that standpoint.
Mack Brown back to North Carolina this time. Little time off to freshen up the batteries. Do you think this is going to work?
Well, you know what's interesting? He's been able to get some former Tar Heels that played for him and have been coaching. Dre Bly is the defensive back coach. Tommy Thigpen is back as his linebacker coach. He has three really young quarterbacks that are really good, and I think his biggest thing is, remember how it ended at Texas? He couldn't get a quarterback consistently or get the guys that they thought could help them the way they should, and I think he's in a better position now. Now, the key is when you have guys that are all in that redshirt freshman, sophomore, and then a true freshman, and Sam Howell out of the Charlotte area, I think that's the part that they're concerned about, because if you start one of them and he has success, then you could potentially lose two. And remember, that's always the battle that you have and the problem that you have. And most coaches are smart enough now to hold that quarterback competition all the way up until the last minute when school starts, so then guys can't leave that semester at least. So he's got a dilemma there. And I think on defense, they've got to get better. They've got to get some explosive guys all across the board. But I think there's some excitement because he's recruiting North Carolina again like he did before, and he's getting to other places, having that Texas connection as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious to watch Matt come in. I'm looking at it the same way I did with Herm at Arizona State. I knew Herm was going to do well. I didn't know how well. And I also know that he's going to get guys from L.A., which is where Arizona State does well, and in particular get some of those guys out of the Long Beach area and straight out of, South Central and some kids that can come over there. So I think to answer your question with Mack, I'm optimistic, but I don't know if it's because I like Mack or is it because I like that he's going to do a good job with the football team.
What do you think we're going to see in Florida State?
Man, I have no idea. I really don't. Because my concern with them is the losses on defense. And if they can't get anything generated on offense, I'm concerned. Although I do like Blackman. I like Blackman better as a quarterback than Francois. So Willie better get the Gulf Coast going. Because if not, it's not going to be a good year for him. And all the talk about the excitement around him coming in and recruiting, they have to play better. And that's what was surprising to me. There's some excitement around Florida State, but it's not the same as it used to be. And I will say this, Miami is another team that is starting to get some excitement. All the transfers that they have in for Manny Diaz, my only concern with Miami is really one. Is it Martell or is it Nikosi Perry? But neither one of them have stepped up to be the quarterback that they need. And if Miami's going to take that next step, they just got to get a guy that can play dead in the Cowboy movie, in my opinion, because they've got some weapons and their defense is going to be salty.
Buck, we will see you next week.
All right, man. Have a good one. Always good talking to you.
Good stuff there with Charles Arbuckle. Every Tuesday, hanging out with Buck. No Griff. I've told you this. No Griff. Griff sent me a message yesterday, said no go. Can't do it. He is on vacation. Griff has a strict no-show rule when it comes to vacation. I just learned this yesterday, but no Griff today. We are clear the rest of the way for lots of long-form, extemporaneous, often perfunctory. Well, not really. No, never perfunctory, I should have said. Not often. Hangout time. It'll be good. I'll make it worth your time. 615-844-5600. Twitter at Bill is King. Tickets at Primo Seats. Primo Seats for all your ticket needs. P-R-I-M as in Mary, oseats.com. PrimoSeats.com. Use the name Bill is King. 5% off for doing that in the promo code box. Tickets to any of these games. That's right. North Carolina against Coach Boom. Auburn and Oregon opening up. There's a few good games that opening week. Not bad. Not bad. Florida-Miami is an opener. There's a lot of clubbing baby seals in there, too. Some of the other games. But to get your tickets, Primo Seats, NFL, college, whatever sport, whatever level, get your tickets at Primo Seats. That includes concerts. PrimoSeats.com for all your ticket needs. We'll get the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's just busy out here where you would expect this time of the morning. 40 westbound, especially trying to get past Spence Lane, coming in through Hermitage, Donaldson, headed towards the downtown area. Lafayette Street at Lewis, that's a wreck right at that intersection. Heavy, but moving up through Brentwood right now, keeping a close eye on that heavy volume of traffic there on 65 northbound up through Williamson County. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. They started all this hot chicken craze. Everybody else is just copycats. Stop by 5814. Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how GEICO not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution. Our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration. Your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area. Specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration. Thanking all the men and women of the military for their service and wishing everyone a happy summer season.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey, man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
Omni Nashville Hotel. Greetings, salutations, Tuesday edition, 615-844-5600 if you would like to check in on Twitter, at Bill is King. Steven in upstate New York, big Syracuse fan, already has his room booked for commitments. That's a good man right there now. He says, Bill, an example of repeated ups and downs in college football. Read up on Lou Saban. Was a World War II vet. He was 28 years old in 1950 when he was appointed the head coach at, was that Syracuse? He says, I worked for him as an equipment manager back in 95. The guy did everything, Bill, even the president of the New York Yankees. That is an interesting career there. Lou Saban. I'd heard of Lou Saban before I'd ever heard of Nick Saban. I didn't know Nick Saban at all. I didn't even know who he was until Michigan State. And I told you, how I got to know him was it was a recruiting. This takes you back to recruiting. It was a recruiting battle between Tennessee and Michigan State for Cedric Ervin in South Florida, who was considered by some that year the top running back in America. And he decommitted and committed back and forth between Michigan State and Tennessee. It felt like 50 times. Probably wasn't, but it felt like it. Ended up playing for Sparty. I remember thinking, gosh, this dude, because Michigan State, this is when Fulmer was in his heyday of recruiting. Fulmer was an A-lister recruiter. And I remember thinking, Michigan State's not going to out-recruit Tennessee. Not Fulmer. Well, they did. Saban. I remember thinking, who is this dude? You sure it's not Lou Saban? No, Nick Saban. And then, since then, Nick's kind of updated the resume. Slightly. He's kind of done some things with the resume to brighten it up a little bit. Yeah, I remember that. I've told you the story. And somebody, was it Jeff too? Somebody pulled it up a while back when we were talking about this. But he's back as a high school coach, not Nick, but but Cedric Ervin. Yeah, Nick's not coaching a high school. Cedric Ervin back in Florida, coaching down in South Florida somewhere. Doesn't matter where it is, but Cedric Ervin, he was a big, good-looking back. I remember Tommy West was also trying to recruit him some, and I was talking to Tommy about it, and he said, that might be the best running back in America. Now, he had a good career, but not a great career. He wasn't a superstar, like some thought. I remember one of the first conversations I had with Tommy West was about Leonard Little. Leonard Little was from over there, right by the Cosby Cattlemen, Asheville, North Carolina. And he was a linebacker from hell. I mean, incredible physicality. And he signed with Tennessee, got there, and then was deemed ineligible, so he went JUCO and then came back. Was a hellacious player. But I remember Tommy talking about that. He was something else. Long, fast, physical. I remember we were at practice one day up at Tennessee. And this is when you weren't as limited as you are now. Don't really get to see anything. And I'm glad I don't. Going to practice is useless. But we were up there doing the show. And this was in the 90s, early, mid-90s, somewhere in there. And we were standing on the sideline on the practice field. And there was a play running back running down the sideline. A defensive player locked up with the running back to tackle him, holding him in place for Leonard Little right in front of us to come through and literally, you know how sideline plays are, a guy's running down the sideline and then the safety or a linebacker comes across and just knocks them over the bench. You know, a wipeout play right down the sideline. Well, that occurred right there. And, I mean, I don't even know. Targeting wouldn't even be the call here. It'd be worse than targeting. What he did to this running back. I remember he stood up, and I don't remember who the other defender was, but he said, "Hey, man, that was perfect. You held him right in place for me." I mean, it was literally like somebody fell on a grenade. That's what this play was like. Not trying to make light of that, but I'm just saying it was, there were body parts flying left and right, seemingly. Ah. Jim in Jupiter says, "Bill, I played." Now, how about this? From upstate New York to South Florida. Jim in Jupiter says, "Bill, I played against a Lou Saban-coached South Fork high school football team when I was in high school." How about that? Now, Steven was talking about Lou Saban and all the various places he'd been up that way. Jim and Jupiter's talking about playing against one of his teams down his way. Wow. That shows you a little stretch in the audience. That shows you some reach right there, doesn't it? Wow, wow, wow. Soul Street Coffee pulled up an article, "How College Football Can Improve Attendance and Overall Stadium Experience." I'm going to pull that up during the break. I have not read that yet, and then we'll talk about it. I'll read it. I'll do the Cliff Notes during the break, and then I'll have time to make a proper analysis on it. Had a good time already today. Couple things. Here was the angle. We always like to take on the show these angles, these various angles, and get the microscope out, right? And look in there. Get on a cellular level and look at it a little bit. And here was the question. A very rare list of coaches, college football coaches, who got fired, got unhired at a place, and then went on and had a really good career as a head coach. Meaning that did not label them. It did not last. It did not define them. They actually did really well after that. It's not a big list. And again, it needs to be a guy that got fired for not winning, not Mike Leach, who he didn't get fired at Texas Tech because of the football on the field. He got fired over relationships and a big fight he was in with them. He was in it, and also the Craig James son fiasco that ESPN did a hatchet job on him for, and again, it got nasty. He's still mad because they owe him money. He's mad about that too. He hates them first and foremost, and they still owe him money that apparently he's not going to get, right? Leach is never, I'm telling you folks, he ain't getting over that. That day's not happening with Mike Leach. So yeah, we've been pulling up some of these names. Coach O comes to mind. Coach Marshall brought up earlier, David Cutcliffe. Cut had a bad, after the 10-win season, Ole Miss had a bad year, but the relationships were not bad. They didn't like Cut down there. They did not like him, and it was pretty overwhelming. They did not like him. And so he got run. And he has done very well since then, whether it was helping Fulmer resuscitate Tennessee football until he left again. Yeah, they bounced back pretty quick during the latter years, remember? And then he left and they went back in the tank, brought in the claw fence. Dave Clawson, Jim and Jupiter brought that up. Now, he was not the head coach at Tennessee, but he was coordinator. That did not go well. But it's a small list. That's a very finite list. Coach O, Coach Cut. Somebody brought up Gene Stallings, got fired in 71 by the Aggies. 21 years later, he's winning a natty at Alabama. That worked out pretty well. Yeah, what if the day he got fired by the Aggies, somebody said, "Don't worry about it. Few years down the road, you're going to win a natty at Alabama." Yeah, just stay calm. You'll be okay. Hour 3 coming up. Omni.